you could mentally fill in or do it in your home groups. But just several bits of ways of looking at information this morning, so hopefully that the Lord will be able to communicate to us. Communication is so important, and more importantly is actually the way we hear. So let's just pray in the name of Jesus that we will hear the words of God this morning. It will go past our ears and into our heart and into our soul and into our mind and become part of our being. Amen. Amen in that? What we function in learning about the word of God is spiritual, and we encounter a spiritual battle all day, all the time in our lives for these things. It's not like the same as sitting and watching telly and watching a program. When we're trying to hear about the word of God, which is about our being and also a wider being, those who actually yet do not know Christ, we are encountering a spiritual battle all the time. So praise God. What is evangelism? Sorry, what is worship? Worship. I'm reading from Mark 12:30. What I'm going to suggest is I'm going to put the verses up here. So if you like to flip through your Bibles, you can. Otherwise, you could just read them, because it'd be good if you do look at the scriptures. Worship is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. It's not where we worship. It's not how we worship. It's actually about our attitude. And it encompasses all these three aspects of our life. And I will talk more about this later on in the talk. Hebrews 12:28 tells us how to worship God with one another. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, amen, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Isn't that fantastic? I love that song, Thank You, Jesus. Our worship is about thank you. Thank you. Just say thank you. Is it a wonderful word, isn't it? Thank you. Isn't it a lovely word? And that's what our worship's about, is thank you to Jesus. Thank you to the Father God for what he's done for us. As I said, I've been on this conference, and the worship leader there is Darlene Check. She's written loads of songs. Can't remember any of them, sorry. But I'm terrible for names, let alone remembering names of songs. She actually described worship was, it's the same really the way what Jane said last week. When humanity and God connect, that is worship. When we connect, with God. So I'm going to look at, very quickly, four characteristics. They're not the only ones, but they're the ones that I found in a book and summarised, that actually characterise what kind of worship pleases God. So the first is, God wants our worship to be accurate. To look upon God as Scripture reveals him, not the way we make him up. That's cool if you like to look at God as a little old man with a long white beard and soft and gentle on his throne, and somewhere over there is Jesus and the Holy Spirit's flying around somewhere. You know, the Bible, we need to look at God and what he actually is. Jane listed off a load of stuff today. I mean, I ain't got time to ask you what you think the characteristics of God, but Jane said God of grace. That's about it. I can't remember the others that she said. So we need to be accurate. It's about who God is. That's what counts when we come to worship God. We think of him or his being. You know, again, don't get caught up whether he's male or female. He's both, because he's made us all in his image. You know, so he hasn't sort of like chucked us out of his image. We're in his image. It's not gender-based. Right, okay, the second one. God is pleased when our worship is real. There's no conning God. There is no conning God. We can con each other, but there's no conning God. John 4:24 says, for God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Samuel 16 says, people judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We may look at people and see them quietly there worshipping and thinking, oh, well, they're worshipping God. Or someone standing up with their hands raised up. Oh, I've been at Hillsong this week and there's nothing but raising your hands and screaming at the top of your voice, which is great because I can't sing and no one can hear me. You know, it's just one big, well, it's not a noise to the Lord, but it was a noise to me. That's not true. It was wonderful. You know, but God looks at the heart. So there's no conning God. So God looks at our heart when we come to worship. God is pleased when our worship is thoughtful. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with your mind. God wants us to use our mind. If it's mindless, it's meaningless. So let's think about what we sing, what we say. And God is pleased when our worship is practical. Now we're getting there. The link with evangelism. Romans 12:1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. God is not asking us to lay down our spirit. He's asking us to lay down our body. That means our being, how we do things. So this includes our heart, our soul, our mind, our whole being. Because that's what makes up our whole being, is those three aspects, our heart, our soul, and our mind. And I'm going to expand on this under the headings of barriers. So how does worship motivate us? Charles Swindoll, some of you may have heard of him, he's often on Premier Radio. He wrote a great book called Grace Awakening. And he describes the connection between worship and evangelism like this. He says, once we grasp its grace vertical significance, as if a free gift from God, not as if, as a free gift of God, much horizontal grace are extending to others automatically falls into place. So what is he saying there? He's basically saying, as we come to that place of worshipping God, recognising who he is, his grace, his goodness to us, nothing that we could buy or purchase, it's just his goodness to us. And when we recognise that, and you know, that's why we get our thank yous, because we recognise that, we've come to a place of, you know, what it means to be saved, to be taken out of that pit of hopelessness and despair, you know, and into a place of good standing. When we recognise that, we automatically want to be like this, to tell others. So it should be cool. Relax. I'm aware that people, the minute you hear evangelists, they think, oh no, more things to do. You know, I'm not evangelistic. You know, I can't talk to people. I'm shy. We're all evangelistic. It's about our being. It's about who we are, how we reflect what's going on in our lives. It's not about how good we may be able to speak about what we believe in. It's about our being, and I'll touch more on that. We all can be evangelistic. So as we keep our focus on the Lord, automatically this should be happening. Absolutely no way you could be going out here and not focusing up there. And equally, you can't tell me that you're a great worshipper and you love the Lord and you spend these hours praying and worshipping and you don't do what's on the Father's heart. Absolutely, that cannot be, you know, that just doesn't tie in, you know. That's enough on that one. So we become horizontal Christians, but not only horizontal Christians, but we can't just stay like this. We've got to go like that. So evangelism is part of our worship. It cannot be separated. If you are true worshippers of God, out of that heart will come the serving of the Lord. Right, I'm going to look at Acts 2, please, Steve, if we can go to that. Oh, don't you love scripture? Here we are, we have the disciples, and they've had the coming and going of Jesus, and they're all worshipping up in that room. Verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in tongues. Praise God, I won't start speaking in tongues. and as the Spirit enabled them, it said, and both Jews and converts to Judaism and Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonder of God in their own tongues. Declaring, they're worshipping God. It's not, oh God, you're good. They're worshipping God. And then Peter stood up with the 11. Peter, mind you can imagine it with Peter, can't you? But having said that, you know, it was only a couple of days ago that he was terrified and denying Jesus. And there he was, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the power of God, full of the love of God. He stands up and he addresses the crowd. And at the end of his message, we're just jumping on to verse 38, Peter says, repent. He does the altar call. Fantastic, isn't it? I love altar calls. I ain't done many of them, but I love them. You know, and we're gonna see many of them. You know, we are a church that is outward looking. We do many things and we're going to see more and more happen. I love altar calls. They're biblical and they're absolutely right. No one ever did an altar call for me. I don't think I would have come to Christ. I must admit, the first year I was always up the front giving my life to Christ. Just checking. Just want to make sure. I'm not on my own on that. I know you guys have done that loads of times. Some of you are still doing it. Good. Okay, Peter says, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is yours for you and your children and for all who are far off and for all whom the Lord our God will call. Isn't that lovely? Then we read in verse 41, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 of them were added that day to their number. Evangelism came out of their worship. What is evangelism? The Greek word for it, evangelos, it comes from the root word of angel, messenger. Evangelism is messenger of the gospel. All of us are messengers of the gospel. praise God. That's all it means, about telling somebody about our faith, enabling that process for somebody to hear that message. Generally, first and foremost, they hear that message by looking at our lives, not whether you're good at the gab, and they want to get away from that. People come to faith because they recognise something's going on in your life. They don't want to hear about truth. Do you think the world out there wants to hear about truth and our standards? They don't want to hear about it. They want to look and see, actually, does that truth work in our lives? What has it done for us? You know, I love the Lord and I'm miserable as hell and I'm still depressed and I'm still wrapped up with all those bondages and whatever. And I come and I proclaim freedom over you, you know, and Jesus died on the cross. And look at us. They're looking at our lives, you know, we've got to see it happen in our lives. And then we might be given the opportunity to then speak. You know, but first is our lives. Let's live it out. Let's live out what we believe. D.T. Niles, the great Methodist theologian, I've thoroughly searched this guy out because I'm convinced that this was a Spurgeon's quote, but here we have it. Apparently this guy said it, and maybe he's before Spurgeon's. I don't know. I couldn't get no dates. So I didn't thoroughly search it out. But he said, evangelism... Wikipedia can only go so far. He said, evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. You know, and do you still remember being a beggar? We're no longer beggars, you know, but we still need our bread because we know where to come to get it. But, you know, none of us want to ever see anybody starving. We're a good, generous church. We give fantastically. You know, and I've seen that in the few months I've been here. You know, we give fantastically. Do we want to deny someone knowing the bread of life? We don't. None of us do. So stay relaxed. It's not a burden. The Lord enables us to do his work. Evangelism can mean different things to different people. But I think we would all agree evangelism is about just telling somebody or telling people that about God's love through our lives and through words. I think we'd all agree that, wouldn't we? But method, how we do that, is just different. We've got to fit it in with the context we're in and the culture we're in. And that's cool. But we must never, ever change the message. But how we present the message and the rest of it, that can be done. It's not the end of the world. You know, God is moving with the times, you know? It's true, isn't it? So what are the barriers to us being inspired? I'm linking it back to really that original verse. Mark 12:30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The Greek word for heart is cardia. It means the heart. I looked it up in the dictionary. I do my work. Then I, darling. You can't see me in my study. There's more books, but the study is like a little cupboard, I suppose. But anyway, the Greek word is cardia, and it means the whole person, the mental, the moral activity, both the rational and the emotional. God is interested in both. That is our heart. For us to love God with our heart, we need to become passionate. It's a nonsense that only some of us are passionate. We're all passionate. You're all passionate about something. Football, your wives, your husbands, your food, holidays. What other things can you be passionate about? What? Rugby. Oh, yeah, we won yesterday. I rung her up halfway through right at the end of rugby yesterday. So we all can be passionate about something. So all of us can be passionate. It's our heart. Our heart is the thing that makes us passionate. God wants us to be passionate about him. You know, loving him. That will motivate us. Secondly, our soul. Sishi. This is still the same Greek word today. If I was communicating with my mum, she'd often say when she was very ill, oh, the psishimu, oh, my soul is coming from me. She always was claiming she was dying, and, you know, it was very difficult because I got phone calls at 4 o'clock in the morning often, and she never was. She's gone to be with the Lord now, so praise God. But this denotes our breath of life. It is the invisible part, the unseen of us deep down in here. To love God with all our soul, we need to be willing to deal with the hidden stuff, the unresolved issues in our lives, the guilt, the envy, the lust, the bitterness, the upsets, the disappointments, the things that have taken us back to square one. These things affect our soul, and eventually they start to clog up the arteries that lead to our heart. And then we might have a heart attack, a spiritual heart attack. We may survive it, or we may not survive it. Who knows? The casualties are quite big, really, of people dropping out of church. Let's look after all these sides of us. So our soul. And thirdly, our mind. He wants us to have our thoughts on him and aligned with the truth of God's word. Not of words that have been spoken over us. You're useless. Do you know, I think that's what really motivated me to go back to school. My brother used to always say how useless I was. Skinny, he used to call me. Wish you can call me that now. But it's horrible, isn't it? If you've had words spoken over you, you know, spoken to you, spoken down to you, that you're rubbish, nothing will come of you. You know, things done to you that communicate that you're rubbish. You know, these things affect our minds, affect our thinking, and they affect our progress and our walk with the Lord. You know, and they all intertwine and are all connected, really, with the heart and the soul, you know, and our, because it's our being. Well, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke all that rubbish that was spoken over us, because all of us who are saved, we are a new creation, aren't we? And we stand in Christ and all his promises. But, you know, some of us, we're saying amen, and we know we are still held back by some of these things that people have said over our lives, and we need to still come against them. One by one, Dwight Moody spoke of his mission in the terms of a sea rescue. I look upon the world as a wrecked vessel. Its ruin is getting nearer. And God said to me, Moody, here is the lifeboat. Rescue as many as you can before the crash comes. There is an urgency. There is an urgency. Hundreds and hundreds of people out there have not heard the message, or have heard the message, or heard the wrong type of message, you know, and that don't know Christ. Worship is also our lifeline. It's our lifeline today. Isn't it wonderful, the songs that we sung this morning? You know, it just lovely for our soul, isn't it? It's lovely, you know, the truths that we recite and say. You know, they're our lifeline, but they're also the lifeline of those who yet not heard Christ. If they come in here and they see 10 of us singing songs that are connecting us to God, you know, that are giving us life, you can guarantee it's going to do something for them. They may not understand what's going on, but they're going to be sensing and experiencing God. So worship is a lifeline to us. Evangelism is part of our worship. We all have a mandate and have been given the authority to go and tell and to preach the good news to all. Then Jesus came and said to them, go to the next slide, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then Acts 1, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will be witnesses. We will be witnesses. We haven't got to work and slog our guts out at this. By the Holy Spirit in us, it helps us be. So we need to just relax in our being and who we are in Christ, and we will just naturally be witnesses for God. The challenge for us is, again, going on that analogy that Jane mentioned last week, we need to keep fit. We need to get into a gym. I don't mean literally. I can tell you now that my husband has bought me gym passes for I don't know how long. And it's a bane of my life. But it is good. It makes me feel good when I bother. You know, I don't think I've lost any weight. But they're telling me that the fat is turning to muscle, but I don't believe them. But we need to get fit. Through our worship times together, we recite truths. Through our songs, our scripture, our liturgy. This is a way of energizing our soul, our heart, and our mind. This is a healthy exercise to continue to be all what God has intended us to be. Let us together get fit for God so that we can tell others. Do you agree? Amen. Praise God. C.T. Studd says, I'm just finishing off now. I don't really know these people, but I've heard of them. That he was a pioneer in missionary, and he founded the Worldwide Evangelization Crusade, and he wrote the following: some men would live within the sound of church or chapel bells, but he said, I'd rather run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Now, I'm not saying Tower Hamlets is hell, and I ain't knocking those who live in the sound of church bells and whatever. Actually, I can hear church bells where I live on the island, you know. But I suppose, really, the fact of the matter is, where there is loads and loads of people, there is going to be who don't know Christ, there's going to be loads more about to do with hell, you know, things that are not of God. And praise God, we'd rather be here where God has placed us. And we want to run a rescue shop. We do run a rescue shop. We want to run more rescue shops by our lives. This is our time. This is our season. This is our time. This is our season. This is the only time. This is it. You know, we are not going to get millions of years. This is it. This is the generation. It's got nothing to do with age, whether you're 70, 60, 50, 40, 80, 20. I'd be lucky. It's got nothing to do with the next generation. We are the generation. If you're alive, you're in this generation. And it is our time, our season, to be seeking God and saying, God, I just want to keep going on with you. Surrender all to you. Get me right. Make me attractive. You know, make me attractive that people are looking at me. Create opportunities so I could speak to people. You know, you could say, God, if you're looking out and saying, God, bring someone my way. You know, it will happen. We know it. I've done it. Now, I'm with you guys, okay? I haven't done much of this. Jane has asked me to try and move this forward, the evangelism in the church. You know, and I've called it. I've started to write a bit of a paper, which Jeff is going to tidy up for me. Extending the vision. Because we've got vision, and it's extending it. And I want all of us to be involved in this. Doesn't matter where, what you can do and what you can't do, even if it means you will just pray. And I don't say just pray, because it's going to begin with prayer. We've got to keep praying, because we are doing a spiritual work, and it needs to be conquered in the spiritual realm. I really want to encourage you guys to get behind this initiative. You know, I don't know what it's going to mean. You know, and there's a few of us that have put our names down last week when we did the vision building day. And I want to encourage you, please come and see me afterwards if you want to be involved. I want to begin with a group praying. And, you know, some of that group will stay continually praying, and others of us will get out. I could tell you now, the first thing we're going to do is give out some of those leaflets so we can acquaint ourselves with the streets and be praying, you know. So I hope you're excited about that. Keep fit. Well, praise God. I've got to stop there. I just asked the worship band if they can come up, and as they come up, we're going to pray together. Psalm 51. Again, out of our worship, Psalm 51, these verses, out of our worship, we create the opportunity to tell others. Can we read this together? Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Praise God. Lord, this is for each one of us, and we accept that, Lord God. Doesn't matter where we've been, where we're at, every day is a new day, Lord God. Your mercies are new every day. Lord, just pray that you encourage us. And I pray, Lord, against any condemnation, Lord God. If people have heard condemnation this morning about what they're not doing, Lord, I just pray that they will just take that and say it's a lie. This is not about condemnation. This is about encouragement. Encouragement in who we are in Christ. To just do what we're naturally called to do. In Jesus' name, amen.